So we're starting our new series called Prayer, okay? So we engage the seven. One of them that we focus on is this area of prayer. And we're going to begin that today. And I'm excited about this season. I'm excited about this whole series that we're going through. And I think that if we can really grasp this concept of the urgency of prayer, you know, having a place of prayer, being a people of prayer, and understanding the purpose of prayer, I believe we'll be able to see God do some amazing, amazing things. I've witnessed it time and time again, and watched God move in people's lives. I've seen miracles. I've seen people healed. I've seen lost be saved, and I've seen God give people jobs. I've seen him do a lot of things, and I think that if we honestly evaluate this area of our Christian walk, man, we're going to see God do some great things here at Living Water Church, in our community, and in the surrounding counties as well. And I'm excited about that, and I hope you guys are excited about that as well. If you don't care, stand one more time if you're willing and able. We're going to read just a verse of Scripture in the book of Romans. We're going to be Romans 12:12. We're going to read just one verse here, and then we'll pray and get right into to the message this morning. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity that you've blessed us with once again. Lord, we thank you for the people that have decided, Lord, to come to your house this morning. You know the hearts and the needs of every individual here, Lord. I pray, God, through this series, Lord, that we would really dedicate ourselves, Lord, to this thing that we call prayer, Lord Father. I pray, Lord, for the lost souls that are here this morning that need a relationship with you, Lord Father. I pray that they would see Jesus this morning, Lord, and just the battles and the trials that people are facing in everyday life. God, I pray that you would just bless them in a mighty way. Understand the strict judgment upon my life of rightly dividing your word and accept that place this morning. We ask all these blessings and favors in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to talk about three areas this morning, about a people of prayer, a place of prayer, and a purpose of prayer. And we're going to try to explain these and hope that God will reveal something to you. I hope that during invitation time that all the lost that are in the house this morning will be saved. I pray that those that are fighting battles, whether it be from addiction or just trouble in your life, I hope and pray that through the power of prayer and understanding the urgency that we need to be a people of prayer, that you'll find a place with God this morning and ultimately ask his will to be done in your life to give him the glory. Now, let me begin by saying the Bible, throughout the Bible, there's many, 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 many accounts, and it's written in there time and time again about this precious, wonderful thing that we call prayer, and how that we need to be a people of prayer. Let me give you just a few examples here. So we believe that we believe from cover to cover the Bible, correct? We believe that what it says, what it tells us to do in here, and that we ought to do our very best to do what the Bible says, correct? Everybody believe that? Okay, so good. So we've got this. So let me show you this, just a few examples of how he implemented this thing and how important that prayer really is in our Christian faith and in our walk with him. Because ultimately, without prayer, I wouldn't have a relationship. And I'm so thankful that God has given us this thing called prayer. So in the Bible, just a few examples. Abraham's servant prayed and Rebekah appeared. Jacob prayed and prevailed. Moses prayed and Amalek was struck. Joshua prayed and Achan was discovered. Hannah prayed and Samuel was born. David prayed and his enemy was defeated. Asa prayed and victory was gained. Jehoshaphat prayed and God turned away his enemies. Isaiah and Hezekiah prayed and 185,000 Assyrians were dead in 12 hours. Daniel prayed and the lions were muzzled. Ezra prayed and God answered. Nehemiah prayed and the king's heart was softened in a moment. Elijah prayed prayed, and a 3-year drought came. Guess what? He prayed again, and the rain came. Man, there's something he said about prayer. Elijah prayed, and a child's soul came back to life. And believers prayed, and Peter, that was in prison, got out of prison and was able to go about God's work again. There's something to be said about this thing that we take so lightly, I think, at times, but this concept of prayer and how powerful it is. The amazing thing that for these great, amazing historical things to happen throughout the Bible, it always talks about there was prayer, there was prayer, there was prayer, there was prayer. I believe with my whole heart, God was setting up a way for us to see that we need to be a people of prayer. We need to be a people that understands the importance about any. I pray before we buy a vehicle. I prayed before we bought our house. I prayed before we had kids. Okay, I hope that I pray before you take certain jobs. I hope that you see the urgency that we need to be a people of prayer. When I say, well, I'll just make that decision. No, take it to God in prayer and be a people of prayer and seeing the need for it. I don't know about you, but I do know, I think we need prayer, right? We need prayer. What it does is it creates this relationship. Do you understand that praying, we actually are getting to communicate with the one true living God that's in heaven. We get to talk with the Father who is in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, I have personally tried out life without God before. Can anybody else say that? Have you tried to do it your own way before? I'm going to tell you, life's crazy even when you pray, but try not praying and see how it works out for you. So there's something that I have found out in my life. When life's crazy, I'm a praying. When I'm on the mountain, I'm a praying. When I've got decision and thought, I'm praying. Before I send my kids to school, I'm a praying. Before I come to church, I'm a praying. All these things that we've got to revolve our life around and see the importance on how we need to be a people of prayer. God gave it in His Word for us and showed us time and time and time again. Think about this. Okay, so any of y'all ever had an interview for a job? Yeah, most of us have, okay? Yep, most of us have. You're prepared for that, right? Okay, so before, anybody ever had a big test? Yep. You prepared for that, right? We hope so. You know, but thinking about some of your coaches, you prepare before you go into a big game. And to get this concept to think that we don't need to prepare before we go into prayer is kind of baffling in itself, because we prepare for everything else in our life. Why not prepare for prayer? You say, well, what does that consist of when you say being a people of prayer and preparing for prayer? First of all, don't go into prayer defeated, okay? Don't go in with the wrong attitude. Going in with the wrong attitude, you know as well as anything, in bad situations, if you'll go in with the right attitude, God will work it out. He'll work it out if you'll go in with the right attitude. So if we prepare for a job, why shouldn't we prepare for prayer? Why shouldn't we do that? There's a couple things that talking about prepare. I believe in being real in prayer. I believe in being relaxed when I'm praying. Just not all tensed up. Just relax when I'm praying. And I also believe in being revealing when I pray. There's certain things that I'll pray about that you and I won't have a conversation about, okay? It's just me and God, okay? Because I know God's hearing and I know it. He'll do what He needs to do. So He is glorified through this whole process. So be real when you pray. Be relaxed and be revealing. Be honest, because when you think about that, you are talking to God the Father who is in heaven, the creator of all things, the one that created you, your family, this world, and everything that's in it. So take this time to be real, to be relaxed, and to be revealing. Listen to this. In Matthew 6:5, it says this. It says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. When I pray and when we pray, we shouldn't be worrying about impressing our brother and sisters that may be beside us. That should be the furthest thing from our mind. And go, guess what? God ain't interested in you impressing him, okay? He said, let there be light, and there was. So do you think that any word that you could say could really impress God the Father above? He just wants you to be real with him, because guess what? He kind of really already knows what you need to be real about. So when you think about this notion, don't try to impress God. Think about this a little bit. When you talk to the Father, just talk. Mike, if you and I sat down and had a conversation, we would just talk. So why should it be any different when we're bowing down and talking to the Creator of all things? He just wants us just to talk. It's kind of like this when I think about this. So that when I need something from my wife, okay, I don't come to her and say, oh, thou most honored of women, wilt thou bless me with some money because I'm broke and need a coffee? I don't say that. You know what? Because she would look at me and she'd say, yeah, you need some money, but you don't need a coffee. You need some meds. That's what she would say. No, I just say, hey, honey, you got a 10 or 20. I'm broke. I'm wanting to stop and get a coffee this morning. So God is, so if we don't do that with each other, why do we think that God even wants to hear all of this? Okay, he just wants you to be real. Don't change who you are when you go into prayer. Be who you are when you go into prayer. Be what God has created you to be. It's amazing so who do we want to, when we're looking at the Bible, who do we want to be like? We want to be like who?
Jesus,
good. I'm glad somebody answered that. Whew. We want to be like Jesus. So can you all agree that we want to be like Jesus, right? Yes? Good, good. We all want to be like Jesus. Well, look at this. Jesus did something in his ministry here that was pretty amazing. You know, because he's seen that we needed to be a people of prayer. And we, in the old scripture, in the Old Testament, we see time and time again how prayer works. All of a sudden, the New Testament comes on. Jesus comes on the scene. And here's what Jesus does, okay? Think about this. Here's a few things. Let me give you this. Be an example, because you already said it. You're trapped now. You said you won't be like Jesus. Well, guess what Jesus did? Here's what he did. He prayed before his baptism. He prayed in the morning before he headed to Galilee. He prayed after he healed people. He prayed the night before choosing his 12 disciples. Also, he prayed while speaking to the Jewish leaders. He prayed before feeding the 5,000. He prayed before he walked on water. He prayed while healing a deaf and mute man. He also prayed before he fed the 4,000. He prayed before Peter called Jesus the Christ. He prayed before his transfiguration. He prayed in return of the 70. He prayed before teaching his disciples on actually how to pray. He prayed when they laid hands on a praying and prayed over a little child. He prayed and asking the Father to glorify his name. He prayed before the Lord's Supper. So time and time again, Jesus gives us the examples on why we as individuals should be a people of prayer. Don't you believe that if Jesus thought prayer was important, the Son of God, the perfect being, the perfect one that lived the law to perfection, that died for our sins, that did not sin one time, if he thought prayer was important and if he needed prayer, whew, well, glory be to God. I think I probably ought to be a people of prayer. We ought to think about this process and this notion of being a people of prayer. Well, Jesus just didn't stop there. You know what else he did? He gave us an example. He gave us an example. Over here in Matthew 6:9, it says this right here. It says, pray then like this. Okay? Jesus speaking to him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I think a lot of times we go into prayer and we forget this, just this very first line of our Father in heaven, Basically, he's saying, holy be your name. He's saying the importance. First of all, I'm not going to go into any meeting not knowing who I'm going to be talking to and not preparing for that, okay? And not acknowledge. So when I go into meetings, I know who I'm talking before I go into those meetings. And Jesus is saying, first of all, you need to recognize who you're talking to. Who you're talking to? You're talking to the Father, the creator of all things. And you need to acknowledge that who you're talking to. The big man upstairs, if you want to call him Father. Okay, the King, the ruler, whatever you want to call God the Father. And you need to acknowledge who you're actually having a conversation with. Because it's important that we acknowledge that and understand that there's something to be said about. Do you understand what a prayer is actually communicating with someone? It's a conversation with two people who love each other. God loves you. You love God. And Jesus is showing us the importance of acknowledging who we're actually talking to. Our Father. Our Father. Have you ever thought about acknowledging our Father who, if you want to see your prayers come to pass and His will be done in your life, I think what the least that we could do is acknowledge who we're actually praying to. And then He said, hallowed be thy name, or holy be thy name. He's expressing the love. He's saying, so you acknowledge, and then this man just took, Father, I love you. There's been times that the only thing that I could do when I got down was say, Father, I love you. Thank you. Thank you. No other words would come out. I could just say, thank you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And God hears and honors that. He loves to see His children coming to Him because He wants the best for your life. He wants to use the trials and the things that you've had to suffer in your life for His glory, that you might see His glory in it and be able to help someone else. So acknowledging here, praising God, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name, praising God, addressing God with adoration, confession, supplication, and thanksgiving. And we're talking in this, and guess what? Jesus is our mediator. He came to be our mediator, the bridge that gets us back to God, okay? So we pray to God the Father who's in heaven. Okay, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that He sent the Spirit to us that we're able. I'll go away, but guess what? I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm glad that all three of them work hand in hand in hand. And the focus is on the Father who is in heaven. The importance of recognizing how great God really is. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think it's also important that does anybody have a place of prayer? Do you got a place? The famous movie's out, it's War Room, okay, because they actually found a place. That's what I'd call a place of prayer. Do you guys have a place of prayer? And if you don't, I'm going to highly encourage you that, because you already said you wanted to be like Jesus. Well, Jesus gives us many, 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 many examples on why we should have a place of prayer and the importance of having a place of prayer. Do you know what the two main excuses are why people don't pray? Number one, they don't have time. Number two is they don't have a place to pray. So they don't have time. That's two excuses. And they don't have a place. I can go through my schedule and I can look. There's never ever going to be time for just about anything. I mean, if we look at, we can make excuses why we don't read our Bible, why we don't come to church. Well, why we don't pray. We can make excuses for that. But God is showing us in His Word the importance of not just to be a people of prayer, but having a place of prayer, because a place of prayer, what it does is it allows you to have an intimate conversation with your Father. Have an intimate conversation without distractions. Any of you all that's got little munchkins running around, you know that you do need to be a people of prayer and have a place of prayer, because You know as well as I do, if you're not a praying parent, then you're going to be casting Beelzebub out of your child real quickly in a matter of 5 minutes after they wake up. Okay, but we have to be a people of prayer and have this intimate time where we are connecting with God. Jesus made it a priority to have a place of prayer. It's throughout the Gospels as we begin to read. He saw the importance of having this intimate, quiet time to talk to his Father. An example here in Mark 1:35, it says this. It says, "And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed, being Jesus, and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Jesus saw the importance of when the crowds were gathered together that he needed to separate himself to go pray. But when he was with the disciples, he departed from them to go and pray. He went into the mountains. He went to a place where he could have an intimate conversation with his Father, and that he could have a place where there was no distractions. No distractions. Don't be watching YouTube while you're praying. Okay, no distractions. It'll be there when you get done. I promise you, it will be there. But have this time of prayer, because Jesus shows us time and time again throughout his words. Do you understand that Jesus began his ministry like this? He also seen the importance of doing this before he made important decisions. He also went away like this to a place of prayer when he knew that he needed to get his emotions in check. He founded a place of prayer. And when I say emotions, he knew that he was going to have to go and give his life for you and I. We get emotionally involved and wrapped up and tore up about everything, but here is a man that gave his life for you and all. If anybody needed to get his emotions under control and go away to pray and showing us the importance, I think that we ought to see the importance of finding a place where we can get away from every bit of the distractions and have an intimate conversation with our Father that's in heaven. So we need to be a people of prayer, have a place of prayer, and it's important that we understand the purpose of prayer, the purpose of prayer, of recognizing that the purpose is to be in his presence, to seek his holiness. And I'm going to tell you what one thing that's important to the Christian walk and the Christian life is to, when we have this purpose of prayer, is to build our relationship. If we don't communicate, okay, relationships suffer. If we don't communicate with our Father, really, is there any relationship there whatsoever? I would say no. But he wants us to understand that the purpose of prayer is so we can have, we can communicate and get and build this relationship with our Father that's in heaven. When I struggle, I need to be praying. When I'm going through good times, I need to be praying. The urgency of recognizing the importance of being a people of prayer. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says this. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. I think the notion of church folk today and many Christians is this concept and what we think prayer is about. And we look at the most people when they think about prayer and think about it works, they don't think about really what the purpose really is of why we pray, because most assume that prayer is a way for us to cash in. That's the way a lot of people look at prayer. It's a way for me to get what I want. They think it's a way to activate God. Well, we'll crank God up and get him going. We'll get God. God don't need no help to get going. He can say, hey, waters, whoop, and there it happens. He don't need to be activated, but we think that's what prayer does. It'll activate God, and so we will get what we want. And then, and we think that by doing this, it'll get, we'll get our longings and our dreams and our ambitions. But you know as well as I do, that's not the purpose of prayer. That's not why prayer is not like, and God's not like a vending machine, okay? You don't put money in it and just say, well, I'm going to get what I want out after I pick B8. Okay, you don't do that. That's not how God works. You don't just cash money in or think, well, I'm going to get what I want today, so God's going to do this for me. You don't look at prayer like that. But the purpose of prayer and seeing that it ultimately comes down to giving God glory. Purpose of prayer is here. The object of prayer is to give God glory. It tells us in John 14:13 here, it says, whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. In everything that we ask for, in every prayer, in every problem, in every situation, in every praise, in every thanksgiving, God should be being glorified in this whole thing. I don't get down and say, Lord, let my will be done. No, I say, Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be, so you are glorified, so that if I make it through this troublesome time, that guess what? People will see you through that. If I get off the drugs and the alcohol, people will see you through that. Okay, that's what it's glorifying God and making this connection, because guess what? When God's glorified, he's going to perform and he's going to do what needs to be done in your life. Now, don't sit around and think, well, why I pray about this if I'm still going through hard times. See, that ain't God's fault. There's things that we have to suffer and we have to go through and endure in this life. But in the end, are you really trying to seek God's glory and him being glorified? The purpose of prayer. Jesus even said, but when he was praying here, his high priestly prayer, that in John 17, he said, I have glorified you on earth. I have glorified you on earth. Everything Jesus did here in his life was to point people to the Father. It's to glorify. What's the purpose of prayer? So being a people of prayer. Having a place of prayer. If you've really never thought about this, but having a place of prayer. And understanding now, if you've never thought about it this way before, that prayer is really to glorify the Father who's in heaven. He's not interested in the big language and the knowledge that you have, because guess what? He knows it all anyway. He understands it all. He knows your thoughts even before you think it. So I did this experiment this week just randomly. Just randomly did this experiment. I sent several texts out this week to some children that go to our church. I sent it out to some of our youth, some of our college students, and some of our adults. I sent this text out, and I was just curious. I was just curious. I said, text to them simple. What does prayer mean to you? That's all I ask them. What does prayer mean to you? Immediately, I got this text back. Pastor's, you know, what do you mean? I just said, I just answered. There's no wrong answer. It's not a trick question. I asked, what does this? And let me read some of these texts, and I'm going to keep them safe. I will not mention any names. I'll just say children or students or adults. But listen to this. So what does prayer mean to you if you've never thought about this before? And here's one of our children, a couple of our children in children's church. Here's what they said. They said, it's a special time where it's just me and God that no one can take away. Another one of them that was a little younger than that said, it's time where me and God talk. You know, then I went on and middle schoolers, I sent out some to them and got some some feedback, and one of them says, it's a way to communicate with God and lay your doubts down and your struggles in front of him. I like that. Another one says, it's our way to communicate and have a relationship with God. I'm thinking, man, they should have prepared a sermon. I text some of our high schoolers, and I ask them, and here's their response. It's a way that when I cry out to God for help and just even thank him and talk to him, and he gives us reassurance, and I can feel his presence. It's really important to keep in touch with him. Another one said, it's a way to talk to God and to be honest with the good and the bad. We can just lay it all on him and find comfort in our hardships and to repent of our mistakes. We can have a personal relationship with God our Father. Here's what some of our kids that have went through Living Water Church that's off to college now and what they said. So what does prayer mean to you? One of them said, to me, it's just one of the most important things. And when you're a Christian, it's a way for to be able to communicate with God and to have a relationship, because, you know, to have a relationship, there needs to be communication. And that's just how the relationship works. I want to think, when I thought that kid didn't get it, he got it. It's amazing. Another one said, to me, a prayer is really a genuine conversation between you and God. It doesn't have to be some big fancy put-together speech, but it's just a simple proclamation of our heart. It's a conversation between you and God. It's just real, genuine conversation. Some of our adults said this. Prayer is a direct line to God. It's like talking to a parent, friend, counselor, and someone who is just completely in control of the universe all at the same time. Another one said, it's a way for me to deepen my relationship with my Creator and commune with Him in an intimate way. It's kind of a lifeline of sorts. Another one says, it's everything. It's my direct line of communication to Jesus, my cry out to him, my praise to him, my heart to him. And the last one said, it's just an expression of love through communication. Being a people of prayer, understanding that it's important to be a people of prayer. I honestly believe you guys pray. But can we honestly say that we are a people of prayer, that we ultimately take everything? There used to be an old song that we sung, take it to God in prayer. Take it to God in prayer. And I'm talking about everything. Before you send your babies out, before you get in your vehicle and go drive, take it to God in prayer. Pray about everything and communicating and having this relationship, this built relationship. What I strive to do is build and get closer to God. And you can only get closer to the Father who is up above through communication and effectively communicating. And how's effectively? Just being you, being real. Can I encourage you this morning that when you talk to God, don't talk to God about what you think you ought to talk to God about. But talk to God about what you really want to talk to God about. Because guess what? God already knows what you really want to talk to him about. And what happens when you begin to talk to God about what you really want to talk to God about? You'll get a sense that God is near. When I become a people of prayer and have a place of prayer and understand the purpose, all of a sudden, when you get into that mindset and that mode, all of a sudden you sense that God was near. And guess what? God was never far away. He was always near. He was always there. He's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. He is one that will always be there. And you know what happens? Your mindset will begin to work a little bit, and you'll sense God just a little bit. And what you know what prayer does? Prayer changes you, not God. Prayer changes you, not God. God don't need no changing. He don't need no changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what prayer does is it'll change you. You want me to tell you how it'll change you? I've witnessed lost being found. I've witnessed blind receiving their sight. I've witnessed that. I have personally witnessed that 100%. Lost being found and a blind man receiving his sight. You know how I witnessed that? Because it was me. It was me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. So when we begin to think about the power in prayer and what prayer is, this communication of having a place and this intimate communication with our Father that's in heaven. I'm telling you this morning, you want to see all the addicts off of drugs? You start praying. You want to see the alcohol, these people that are killing themselves with alcohol? You start praying. And most importantly, you want to see every lost soul that comes into God's house every Sunday morning. You want to see that take place. You start praying. And you start realizing what prayer is all about. Let's break it simple. I'll guarantee you that there's somebody in the house that has to face something difficult. I guarantee there's somebody here this morning that this week they have either been told something and now they have to deal with it, or they're either going through it right now. And I guarantee there's somebody here this morning also that is sitting there and feeling like I have felt one time or another. Like, man, this is me. I don't know how to talk to God because I really ain't never talked to God. And this is the first time I ever heard God even talking to me and saying things to me. And I got this uneasy feeling in my soul. I just don't know what it is. Is it me just getting a little anxious? No, that's God. That's God saying, hey, you need a relationship with me. And you'll feel this constant tugging and tugging and tugging. Well, guess what? Let me show you something. Here's what we deal with as pastors week in and week out. Pastor Grant, Pastor BJ, and myself. This is just from January, okay? Just from January. These are prayer requests that people have dropped in the box just from since January. There's a lot of them. And I'm not talking just one prayer on these. There's a lot of them. And it's not counting the endless text, private messages, emails, time and time again. So I'm telling you, it tells me in the Word of God, I tell you, I trust my brothers, and I trust that they'll bear burdens with me. But you know what, church? It says, bear ye one another's burdens. And man, as we pray over these week in and week out and week in and week out, I'm telling you, through these series, God's going to do something amazing. He's going to bring dead people back to life. He's going to change lives that are suffering so much right now. He's going to change that. But what it's going to take, I'm going to tell you, it's going to take us bearing one another's burdens. Because I know you're going through a halt. You say, God, why me? Why me? And this morning, during invitation time that God gives you, you say, well, I just really don't know what to pray about. Guess what? There's your stack of them right there. And guess what? Here's your email after email and text message after over here. We've got something to pray about. And I'm going to tell you what, these lost people in God's house this morning, if you ain't got anything else to pray about, you pray that the Holy Spirit of God will come down on them where they won't be able to sit there anymore, because I've gripped the seats. I've held on just as tight as I could hold. But there was somebody that was praying for me. And to them I say thank you. Because I wouldn't be where I'm at today without this thing called prayer. So are you ready to be a people of prayer? To have a place of prayer? And to understand the purpose of prayer? If you can't pray for anything else this morning, please come and pray for these requests that have been made known to us, that God will hear and that His will ultimately be done so He is glorified. Let's pray.